But we are joined now by Owen Sweeney. So earlier this week, the singer Justin Bieber opened up about his struggles with drugs and depression, and he puts it all down to being a child star. So he says at the age of 13, he was just a small town boy, suddenly went to international superstar, and he says this is the root cause of all his problems. So producer Owen Sweeney is going to talk to us about some child stars who suffered, and indeed the ones who survived their childhood stardom. Owen, we find the whole child star arc fascinating, don't we?
Yes, because I suppose we all have our favourite child stars when we were children or young people, and we looked up to them, and everyone's got film stars or TV, and they seem to be on a massive conveyor belt at the moment. It's kind of television, and as someone who used to work in young people's television, tries to keep up with and tries to keep the attention of young people watching. The child stars are getting younger and younger. We've gone from teens to tweens to what? God knows what now. So, and also it defines these people in our imagination.
Yeah,
you know, it is that thing. You'll all, Arnold from Different Strokes will always be Arnold. Gary Cooper will always, be that kid if you were that generation.
Yeah,
remembers watching
it's
in the
80s. True, isn't it? There's a kind of a common set of themes here and things that happen. What are the kinds of reasons they go off the rails? Do we blame the parents?
Well, you can often blame the parents, because sometimes you do have stage parents, and you know, and often, and it's nothing new as well, going back through the annals of Hollywood, sometimes the parents help themselves a little too liberally to the child's income, shall we say, and then when it all disappears, sometimes the entire family can fall apart as a result. Child actors are replaceable. There's a high premium on cuteness, if I can put that in inverted commas, as Hollywood have seen it, see it. And, you know, as soon as puberty hits, invariably, if you're a preteen star, your career is, you know...
Oh, really, yeah?
It can be in trouble. Okay. Very few people survive this. You know, Jodie Foster is one of the prime examples, I suppose, but very few people kind of go on to have long careers, particularly in Hollywood. Money mismanagement, as I say. Parents, it's a great Billy Ray Cyrus quote, actually, but Miley Cyrus, who, of course, was a Hannah Montana, a Disney star, and has gone on to a very mega stardom in pop. He kind of said at one point, look, sure, I'm not even her parent anymore. I don't think there's this machine around her, you know, on the red carpet and whatever, who are bringing her from thing to thing, and kind of he's like, you know, he sees her at holidays or whatever. So in some ways you can have stage parents being too pushy, and in other cases they could just kind of find themselves pushed at the margins, and other people are making decisions for them. I suppose kids are kind of, you know, they often rebel because, you know, in Disney and Nickelodeon you have to be so pure, you have to be whiter than white, so you're kind of repressing, you know, what might be your own personality, particularly in adolescence. And so you kind of, if 18 comes along and you've got loads of money and you're no longer kind of on Disney Channel every day of the week, then you can go a bit mad in public.
Tattoos
and drink and whatever.
So just briefly on Justin Bieber, and then we'll move on to some others. But Justin Bieber, I believe the way you do it nowadays is you write your confession in your the notes app on your iPhone, and then you take a screenshot of that and post it to Instagram. What were Justin Bieber's problems?
Well, Justin Bieber blamed it all, I suppose, as you said in your intro there. He was 13 when he was discovered. He was kind of small town Ontario in Canada, and he was discovered by Scooter Braun, and then became this kind of, you know, he was a bit of a YouTube thing, and then he became a megastar, and he's had untold hits, you know, around the world. People couldn't even start to enumerate. But of course, and this is a part of it as well, and Mara Wilson, who was Matilda, who's written a very, very good book on all of this and kind of surviving child stardom, and she's brilliant on Twitter, and I heartily recommend you check her out and read the book.
She came good, did she?
She came good. Yeah, she kind of just said, that's it, I'm done, you know, whatever, I'm not the Q kid anymore. She went to NYU and she's now writing and telling, she's a storyteller, she says herself, but she's very good on Twitter and she's very good on this subject. But one of the things that she says, one of the things Justin Bieber says, is, you know, they didn't know how to make decisions for themselves, and also they were told at every second of every day, because they're a cash cow, going back to Billy Ray Cyrus, kind of the machine around Miley, there's a lot of people's incomes on this. So he was told he was great every single part of every day, from, you know, from when he woke up to when he went to bed. He was pampered. He didn't know how to live his own life. He didn't know how to make decisions. And it's funny, when he started kind of publicly going off the rails, he was 19. It was at that kind of cusp again.
The monkey.
You know, the monkey. And it's true.
Remind us of the monkey.
Brendan, you could do many, many things in public and in the world as a famous person, but if you're seen as mistreating an animal, it is almost...
What happened with the monkey?
One of the worst things you can do. He was trying to get a monkey, his pet monkey, whose name escapes me, I have to confess, into Germany. And it was confiscated at customs in Munich. And that was fine, became very public furore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he never went back for the monkey. The monkey then went to a local zoo, and Justin Bieber's kind of started becoming this bad boy then, which I suppose he kind of wanted to rebel, but he was seen as this uncaring character. And as he says in his own Instagram post, he became the most hated person in the world, which is probably overstating it a little. But, you know, people are always, and the other thing with child stars is schadenfreude, people are always looking for the fall from grace.
Yeah. And it turns out he was taking very heavy drugs.
He was taking a lot of drugs. We knew that. And kind of, you know, he was speeding. There was a lot of this plays out in social media and TMZ in Hollywood as well. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, this network of what would you call rubbernecking of celebrities, you know, this, and it run by a lawyer of all people. Well, I suppose best person to run a kind of gossipy website, but you know, they're feeding off this, you know, this is the machine. Yeah. This is the internet clicks.
And we should say that Justin Bieber, now a married old man of 25 and it's all
Hayley Baldwin, he credits his faith, I should just give it all to God, and he credits his wife and he credits his family.
By the way, I'm told that Justin Bieber's monkey was called OG Mally and apparently, and I quote, still has abandonment issues.
So there you go. Also, child stars suffer from major abandonment issues as well. Corey Feldman being one of them.
Okay, tell us about Corey. We can't mention Corey Feldman without mentioning Corey Haim. Let's talk about the two Corys.
We're speaking to our generation now. Yeah, I mean, people remember from The Lost Boys, and the two of them, and people will remember Corey Feldman from The Goonies and other movies like that. The two of them kind of go side by side for 80s kids, and then it all kind of went a bit wrong for both of them, actually. They both got into very, very serious drugs. Corey Feldman had to emancipate himself from his parents. Another theme that happens. Do you remember? I mean, Macaulay Culkin had something similar going on in his life. Lindsay Lohan has major issues with her dad as well. Britney Spears' dad is her conservator, now this week is trying to get away from that role as well. But the two, Corey Haim died tragically in 2010, kind of at the age of 38. He had serious substance abuse problems. Again, as kind of a teen star heartthrob in 1988, whenever The Lost Boys came out, trying to transition into adult roles. Also, you're living in Hollywood. Everybody loves you. Everyone's throwing money at you. You're going to all the clubs. You're hanging out with River Phoenix and Johnny Depp and whatever. You know, River Phoenix, who is also no longer with us. Drugs are freely available, but you're a liability. Who's going to hire you? Do you know, if you're seen as this sort of kind of wayward youth, that rebel image is great, but, you know, it's not very bankable, and you burn through your money very, very fast. If you have any, if your parents haven't already taken it, which happened in a lot of places. In fact, Jackie Coogan, can I go back to the 1930s very quickly?
Coogan. I want to get back to Corey Feldman as well, the other Corey.
Jackie Coogan, very quickly, because the Californian Child Actress Bill is known as the Coogan Bill. Right. His parents basically stole all his money, or his mother, I say his dad said, his mother and his stepfather, who was in his accountant slash manager, stole $4 million. Dollars in the 1930s from him. He was the kid in the Charlie Chaplin movie, The Kid. He was a massive star.
Wow.
And he stole $4 million, which was a huge amount, probably $40-50 million in the 1930s. Yeah. So they robbed all that of him, and he got a very small portion of it. Now, there's now a child actor's bill named after him in California, best place for it, which guarantees a portion of any child actor's earnings will be maintained until they reach adulthood, etc., etc., etc. He went on to be Uncle Fester in the original Addams Family.
Really? So he made the money back.
He made a bit of money back.
Some of it,
but Corey Feldman's another one. You're right, the two Coreys, it's funny, they kind of became this kind of this double act, and they appeared in reality TV shows as well until, unfortunately, Corey Haim's demise. But Corey Feldman emancipated himself from his parents, as I said, also was a heroin user. He was arrested for heroin possession twice, do you know? And this guy was kind of the brightest shining star. He has made very serious allegations of paedophilia in Hollywood as well around the time of they were coming up.
And he says he blames Corey Haim's kind of messy life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That.
And I think it affects you if you watch these people as a kid, because kind of you have a bond with these people in movies, and you watch what happens to them, and you kind of think as a kid you'd love to be famous, you'd love to be a Hollywood movie star and all this sort of stuff, and you watch what happens to some of them. And yeah, Corey Feldman has laid those very serious allegations. And, you know, there's, I'm sure, you know, plenty of credence given to them in many circles, but nothing has happened and come of it. However, he was pals with Michael Jackson, and he says Michael Jackson now never did anything untoward with him, but his real issue with Michael Jackson was, you know, there's footage of him and wanted to be his pal and everything else when he was the star. But then, you know, he became whatever, 13, 14, someone else came along who was the latest young wunderkind, and he abandoned him, and he wasn't returning his calls. He didn't want anything to do with them anymore. So that was a huge psychological effect on him. Yeah.
And Michael Jackson, funnily enough, comes up in more than one of these stories. So you mentioned Macaulay Culkin there a minute ago. another pal of Michael Jackson's.
Yeah,
tell
again,
us about Macaulay.
Well, Macaulay Culkin's interesting. He was the first child actor to be paid $1 million for a movie, which is for My Girl, you know, the follow-up to, well, the movie he did after Home Alone. Macaulay Culkin's thing brings in this whole family. He's two brothers, Kieran and Rory, who are still acting nowadays.
And one of them brilliant in Succession.
In Succession,
at the moment,
that's right, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Macaulay's manager, this is another thing about child actors again, I suppose, his dad, Kit, became his agent. And in one poll, and I think it was 1993 or thereabouts, he was named, Kit Culkin was named the 48th or whatever most powerful man in Hollywood, a person in Hollywood. And you know, if you wanted Macaulay Culkin, you had to go through the dad. The dad obviously was starting to rub people up the wrong way. There's a bit of living vicariously through the kids. Do you know, I don't think we have to be a hugely qualified psychologist to make that kind of leap. And so, and the dad, of course, was a frustrated, I think he was a PR, but I think he was also an amateur actor, wants to be an actor.
Of
you
course.
Know. You know, this does happen. And anyway, Macaulay's success tanked. He basically, he's on record as saying to the family, he said, right, I hope you've all made your money because that's it from me. I'm out of here. Richie Rich was kind of the big budget movie that died a death. Kit Culkin became branded as box office poison in Hollywood. Unfortunately, the Culkin family then kind of fell apart. The parents separated or divorced rather bitterly. But Macaulay Culkin, because you think of him as Kevin McAllister in Home Alone, you think of him as this cherubic young fella doing that, channeling Edvard Munch's The Scream with his hands to his face. And then you see him in New York and, you know, there's all, you know, he looks gaunt, he looks grown up. Again, you know, we picture them as kids.
How dare he look gaunt and
grown
up?
Well, this is it.
Okay, then, you've 30 seconds to tell us about what happened to everyone in Different Strokes, because that was an absolute omni-shambles, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Dana Plato, heartbreaking. She was Kimberly. She died of a drug overdose. She signed over. Her mother died when she was young, and she signed over power of attorney to her accountant. He ran off with all her money.
And Arnold, what are you talking about?
Arnold died. Well, he had kidney problems, and he had a lot of personal problems, and he had, you know, various battery charges against him as well, and pestered by fans, etc., etc., etc. Was a security guard at one stage. He also died, but of kidney failure or of you know, of natural causes.
Owen Sweeney,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and to you I say. There's eternal words of wisdom. The world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.